You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
I don't like this text. It says I'm aging into Salk's fireworks opinion.
That's a pretty good text.
That's a backhanded compliment if I've ever heard one.
Also saw some texts about how much it scares their dogs. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that's really one of the unfortunate side effects of fireworks too.
Yeah, we don't have that problem in my house. Wendell could care less about
it. Sleeps through like
them? Yeah, he sleeps through anything. He doesn't hear it at this point. He can't even tell that they're going on.
Wendell.
So. Wendell's not a big, he didn't care too much about the fireworks, but I know some dogs do. And so you're being mean to the poor dogs, all so that you can hear, what a waste of time. All right, let's see. I told you I've got this sound I want to play for you. It's pretty good. So this is Martellus Bennett, first of all, and then I got some Julian Edelman. They're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, why is it important? Well, we've talked a lot about Jimmy, right, as a possibility. I told you last week that he was the best fit for what Pete Carroll wants.
Yeah, you were definitive.
Definitive. I solved the problem. I did everyone a favor in the whole town. I solved the biggest question in Seattle sports.
And weird, they didn't sign him yet.
I know. Well, he's not available yet. He's still playing for the Niners. They don't have a choice.
Which is crazy. Okay.
Anyway, so the second part of it, though, is the whole leadership part. And, you know, Lewis Riddick told us he's a great leader. Joe Fan, who covered him in San Francisco, said the same thing. Well, Brock always says you can't fool the locker room. So let's go back into his life a little bit more to when he was a young player in New England. And Tom Brady ended up suspended, what, four games, first three or four games of the year for Deflategate, and Jimmy G was in line to start with Jacoby Brissett behind him. Well, Martellus Bennett, brother of Michael, is on the Double Coverage podcast, and he's got some, what's the word, not very nice things to say about Jimmy.
Bro, we lost two games. One of them was because Jimmy Garoppolo was being a and trying to quit before us on the last, decided not to play right before the game. So we went out there. Jacoby came out and played with a thumb and played his heart out. But Jimmy was just being a about it all. And he's still being it. Like, that's why you can't win with a for a quarterback, first of all. So, like, that was the whole thing with him. He didn't want to come out and, like, do anything because his agent was trying to protect his body or some that, which I can't fault him for that.
Dude. First of all, he called him that name, like, five times in the 30 seconds.
Sounds like he's been waiting to say these words.
Seriously. And then the kill shot is you can't win with that kind of a person as a quarterback. That's brutal. Now, to be fair, he's won a lot of games and brought his team to a Super Bowl and nearly to a second.
True. And in those first two games that he started, they won.
Right. And also, when they, you know, why didn't he win the Super Bowl? I mean, a big part, he did not play a great game, but also, you know, Richard Sherman got torched and was probably, that was the biggest moment of that game. And why didn't he advance to another Super Bowl? Because Jaquiski Tartt ended up dropping a sure interception. So Jimmy doesn't always win the game, but he's also not always responsible for losing it either. Anyway, that's a pretty telling comment from Martellus Bennett. So anyway, that happened, I guess, a little bit ago, and Julian Edelman goes on the I Am an Athlete podcast, and Edelman is asked to read those comments. So he reads them all out loud, and they're like, all right, what'd you think of that? And here's his answer.
Week three, like the first quarter against the Buffalo Bills or the Jets, and he hurts his non-throwing shoulder. Jacoby came in, led us to a win. And the next week, but in the game, Jacoby.
Was that a big deal, like the non-throwing shoulder?
I mean, I don't know. We're all football players here. But Jacoby broke, he tore his ligaments in his thumb in the win against the week three team. And so we go into week four, and, you know, I guess, you know, Jimmy was practicing and then, you know, decided not to play. And Jacoby played with, you know, no ligaments in his thumb, which you can't do that as a quarterback. You can't. You grip, and if it's your left, and a lot of guys got mad about it. A lot of guys got mad. I'm not gonna lie, I got mad about it, and you know I can understand why Marty thinks like that.
I like, first of all, I like that he kind of, a lot of guys, actually, you know what, I'll say it with my chest, I got mad about it.
Yeah.
It goes from like, yeah, my teammates were mad about it. No, it was me.
He's like, I'm far enough away from the game. I don't got to protect the team anymore. I was mad.
I was mad about it. Yeah, I don't really care what anybody thinks. So good on Julian Edelman for actually saying it rather than kind of hiding behind it. But that's a pretty nasty charge. That's a pretty nasty charge. And if you've been listening throughout the morning, we've been trying to figure out what's worse than being called soft. And the only things we've really been able to come up with are
corrupt.
Yes. Stealing from your teammates in some way.
Yeah. Or taking dives, that kind of thing.
Or what was the other one we came up with?
What was the other one?
Being a snitch.
Rat.
Being a rat.
Yeah.
Being a snitch of some sort. And other than that.
Trusted.
Yeah. If you just, yeah. But being soft is a pretty nasty charge, and to the idea of having your quarterback with that reputation, that's a tough one. And you go back and think about the mediocre guys, right? The guys who are sort of in between. I'm not talking about the all-time greats, although I do think it's telling that the all-time greats play through anything, right?
Yeah.
Brett Favre played through anything. I mean, he's renowned for it. Tom Brady has missed only a few games in his career, right?
Broxley Elway.
John Elway would play through anything. Russell Wilson, the only time he's missed in his career was with the finger injury where he had a superhuman recovery and didn't even miss time when he tore his MCL and had a high ankle sprain on the other leg. You know, when you think about the greats, Peyton Manning, like, they play through anything.
Right.
Maybe they talk about why, maybe not. Maybe they Ben Roethlisberger the thing.
Let's not forget
Big
Ben.
I mean, Favre did that too. Favre had a lot of make sure everybody knows what's going on with me. You know who else had a lot of that? It was Steve McNair. A lot of like, hey, make sure everybody knows my shoulders hurt, my legs dinged up, or this, that, and the other.
Matt Stafford's a tough guy. He's gone through some of that too.
But when you think about the guys in the middle, sometimes whether you're tough or not, whether you're soft or tough, can be the difference. And I think about Tavares Jackson when he was here, and I know stuff happened in his personal life later, but just Tavares Jackson, the quarterback, the teammate, tough dude, played through a torn pec that year, earned everybody's respect, and was able to help lead that team, and was part of building the winning culture here in Seattle because of it. You contrast that to a guy who's in between and doesn't have that, they don't make it, because nobody's going to follow them. And at the quarterback position, that's so important.
We were talking about it earlier at the end of last season with what Adrian Peterson maybe did for Rashad Penny. Same thing, like playing hurt, playing injured.
Yeah,
like who are you winning over and who are you losing at the same time?
Every dad, and probably moms, but I know as a dad that I feel this way, and I'm guessing everyone else does as well. Knows that this is something that you have to teach your kids. You have to at some point, and I've mentioned it to my kids before. I remember vividly. The moment my dad had the conversation with me, I don't know how old I was, but I couldn't have been older than 8. I was probably 6 or 7 based on where I lived at the time. And I just remember my dad saying, like, hey, it's time to stop crying. I know you got hurt. You're too old for that. It's time to stop crying every time you get hurt. And because that's what kids do. Kids cry when they get hurt. That's you're in pain and they cry.
Yeah, or it's scary or whatever.
And at some point, you've got to have the conversation with your kids. You're like, hey, I get it. Can't do that anymore. And I've had that conversation with my kids any number of times. It hasn't clicked yet, but we're getting closer to that moment.
As they're boneless?
We're getting there. No, like they're getting much better at it. It takes a little while. But I remember that conversation vividly. I know where I was sitting. I know what I can picture it. I remember him talking, and there's no way I was older than 7 years old.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's time to stop crying when you get hurt. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, the conversation exactly that Adrian Peterson had with Rashad Penny. But I think it's an adult version of that, an NFL version of it. Hey, man, are you hurt or are you injured? Like, sometimes you got to go play. Or you don't feel perfect? Guess what? Welcome
Everybody
to the NFL.
On the team doesn't, yeah.
We get your butt out there.
Remember, I had the same conversation after a wrestling match that I lost. And you're like 5 or 6 years old and you're crying. It's like, hey, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
That's not going to help you get better. That's not going to work.
It's just time.
Yeah.
It's time to stop doing that. And I'm sure if you're a dad or I'm sure moms do it as well. You've had the exact same experience and you've had that conversation with your kids. Maybe it's worked. Maybe you've got an update on the best way to do it. Another texter says, do you talk to your kids about when it is okay to cry? Yes, actually I do. I don't mind my kids crying. I cry as well.
For sure. There's gotta be healthy, but that's healthy conversation.
Absolutely. But, a huge difference between that and crying every time you bang your elbow.
And crying for attention.
Right? Yeah. I mean, like, you've got to kind of figure that out. And all kids go through it. Mine are no worse than anybody else. They're no better either, but they're no worse than anybody else's. It's just part of being a parent. It's one of those things you got to teach. All right. Let's see. Brock coming up in 20 minutes. He and I kind of argued once again about this whole quarterback thing. So we'll do that at 9:30 right after Need to Know Next. Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
I'm so excited for Ranked. We've been working on it for the last little while, and there are some great ones today. That's coming up at 9:45, half hour from now. We've been spending much of the day celebrating Jesse Winker for good reason. He's had quite the week, right? Remember, he hit the road and started hitting, which was great. He was the main participant in the battle in Anaheim. Then he got a pizza delivered to him, small pepperoni, which he crushed in the clubhouse. He got hit with a 7-game suspension, which he's appealing. He spoke out against Phil Nevin and the umpires. And then last night, he came up with a big hit with his team really needing one.
Here's the stretch and the 0-2. It's on the way to Winker. Swing and a fly ball deep into the gap in right center field. Hayes going back to the warning track near the wall. Leaps up. And this one is off the top of the fence. Extra bases. Crawford will score. Julio rounding third. He'll score. Jesse Winker in at second base with a 2-out, 2-run double. And the Mariners have the lead. 2-0 here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Now, he was going nuts out there, too. He was so excited. Big moment for him. Those are the only runs of the game, the only runs driven in. Mariners win a 2-0 as Paul Sewald closes the door. Mariners win a very tight one, which they needed. Lots of credit to go around. Obviously, Winker had the big RBI. Julio kept it going with his speed and athleticism. J.P. Crawford getting on base to start the whole rally. And then the other part of this story is Robbie Ray. He was awesome last night. Really great. 7 innings, 1 hit, shutout ball. Scott Servais pretty darn impressed.
Major league pitching. Defensive game for sure. One-hit shutouts are hard to come by in this league. And quite an effort by Robbie Ray. Continues to keep rolling along. The last 4 starts have just been electric, what he's been able to do. And really a credit to him to make adjustments as quick as he has and then carried into the games. And he did a heck of a job tonight.
He sure did. And in fact, over those last few games, Scott mentioned, he's allowed just 2 runs in his last 27 innings, striking out 28 in the process. And that, of course, coincides with the addition of a new pitch, which he spoke about with Bump and Stacy earlier this week.
I added a two-seam fastball. I mean, it's a pitch that I've thrown in the past, but I hadn't necessarily gotten the results that I have this year on it. I think for me, in the past, it may not have worked as well because my delivery wasn't as sound as it is now. My delivery, I feel really good about it, and the consistency of my release point is where it needs to be. So I think that, a combination of that and bringing this pitch back and kind of tinkering with it, other than just trying to throw a standard two-seam, just moving around, trying to make it better and actually utilizing it as a weapon, has helped me out a ton.
Yeah, the two-seamer, of course, is really a sinker, right? It breaks towards his arm side, like to the left, inside to a left-handed hitter, and away from a righty, and that's been pretty effective for him, especially against right-handers, because he's always thrown a slider, which breaks towards them. So, whatever reason, it has made Jesse Winker dominant here for the last 4 starts.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, let's go through the injury update. Some good news here, I think, on Kyle Lewis and Mitch Haniger. Maybe not so much on Taylor Trammell. Lewis, Haniger both playing catch on the field before the game. Haniger was actually taking a few swings. I think Lewis was as well. Shannon Dreyer, our Mariners insider, spoke to Kyle Lewis, who said he was dealing with multiple symptoms after the concussion, but thankfully is starting to feel a little bit better. Going to need a rehab stint before he returns. Haniger, meanwhile, says he's still on his original timetable of missing a total of 10 to 12 weeks. Now, as for Taylor Trammell, he was lifted from the game yesterday after running hard to first on a double play ball. If you remember, he missed a month earlier this year with a hamstring injury. It is the same hamstring, so decent chance he ends up going on the injured list. Now, if he does that mean Jared Kelnick gets called up, right? Remember, the team has wanted Kelnick to stay in the minors until he's 100% ready to go and ready to succeed in the big leagues, but I wonder if that timeline changes if all of a sudden they just have a need at the position. Meanwhile, we spoke to Ty France, less than an hour ago, and he says he's feeling a little bit better, and he's hoping that he'll be able to come off the IL when his time is up after 10 days, but I wouldn't say he sounded necessarily confident that that would be the case. I still remain a little bit concerned that it's going to be a while for Ty. By the way, he is second in the All-Star voting right now behind Vlad Jr. Probably not going to pass Vlad, but staying in second should at least help his cause. So go vote for him so he can be added to the team, even if he's hurt.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, the price for DK keeps going up. The market is gaining comps. Terry McLaurin became the latest wideout to get a big new contract extension. He gets a $74 million three-year deal to stay in Washington. That puts him just under $24 million a year. That market, as we said, the numbers are big. It's hard for me to imagine, that DK is going to take any less than Terry McLaurin, who's a good player, but he's not DK Metcalf. Seahawks going to have to pay it. They decided not to trade him when they had the opportunity before the draft, so my guess is they're going to be willing to pay that kind of a price. It's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour here on the Mike Salk Show. Jesse Winker, we were talking about for a while. By the way, if you didn't get a chance to hear him after the game yesterday, he, for the second time in a post-game interview, forgot he was on public
live
airwaves.
Yeah.
Tell me about your emotions out there. Just like a little bit of a release. That was about as fired up as I've ever seen you out at second base. Please take us inside your odd, glorious little mind.
You keep calling me weird. I'm really not that weird. I'm a normal guy. I was just happy to get a hit. It's, you know, baseball's not easy. I was happy to get a hit.
Keeping it simple.
Little mind.
I heard somebody suggest that he was mad at Angie. No, he wasn't.
I don't think so.
No. I mean, first of all, nobody's ever mad at Angie because she's awesome. Second of all, more than any other reporter I know, Angie always has respect of the people in the clubhouse because she could talk ball with anybody and because she played it at such a high level. So, no, I don't think Jesse Winker was in any way actually annoyed. I think he was just kind of giving her the business back, which is great.
Our own Mike Lefko sent out the warning on Twitter. Hey, by the way, whoever interviews Winker after this game, just be
ready.
Up. happened to him.
Yeah.
That's where the Electric Factory comment came from.
So funny. I wonder if he gets a talking to about that or if they're just like, whatever.
Or if there's like, hey, maybe don't do Jesse after these games anymore.
He's already going to get suspended for seven games. Like, he's got bigger fish to fry right now than whether or not he's got to deal with this. So, his language is probably the least of his concerns. Maybe he had just watched the John Boy breakdown, and so he, like, knew all the things he had said in the heat of the moment, and so he was just keeping it going for Angie and the rest of our
benefit. Stay on brand.
Yeah. John Boy, by the way, a whole person, not just a brand.
Glad we learned that yesterday.
Yeah, it was a big day for me and for everybody else, I think, on the show. Coming up next, Brock Heward, who also didn't really know about any of that, but that doesn't really say much about me. Brock is, he is, unfortunately for him, projecting. You'll hear why next. Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Heward is my hero.
What Brock Heward says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Hey, buddy.
Good Wednesday morning.
Yeah, it has been so far.
Good.
A lot going on today.
Good.
I was thinking about something you said yesterday.
Oh boy.
And I wanted to follow up on it.
Okay.
Did you call yourself a Drew Lock supporter?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think he's gotten a raw deal. I think he's a bunch of these young, talented QBs that come out of college. Some land in terrific situations. Russell Wilson landed in a terrific situation. He made it. He cut through. He achieved and he performed everything that you just heard from Passan, right? The passion and the performance. He did all of that. But he landed in a pretty incredible place. And it's not often that I think back to my career and like what ifs. You know that. I don't really harbor any resentment or bitterness. You do. You harbor more bitterness towards Holmgren than I do. God bless you for that. I love you.
He's the wrong coach for you.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. Brock, I'm like Robin Williams. Right. It's not your fault.
Wasn't the right fit. What if, instead... The Baltimore Ravens in the second round, the 42nd pick, didn't trade for Tony Banks, but did what they said they were going to do and drafted me. And I would have gone to a team with Tony Siragusa and Ray Lewis and elite defense, Jamal Lewis, and we could have run. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing at you playing with Ray Lewis, Tony Siragusa, and the rest of that team.
Why are you laughing?
And the idea of that being even a better fit than Mike Holmgren.
Hey, Justin, I'm about ready to hang up. I'm about ready to disconnect my Comrex.
I can hear it. I'm just going to have to let him go on this one for just a second.
That ain't, Brock, I don't think anything's funny about that. I should have said an elite defense, and then Jonathan Ogden, Jamal Lewis, a run play action defensive team. That's what I was built for.
Yes.
That's what I had in Washington. When we had success and won a lot of games and everything else, Corey Dillon was the hammer. We play actioned, took care of the ball, all of those things. What if I would have landed on that team in 99, right? And would have been able to grow with them and develop with them and wouldn't have had to, you know, had a rebuild, which we had in Seattle while I was here, and would have had that group to build around, right? And that's just, it wasn't in the cards. It wasn't meant to be. No, by the way, could have flown 3,000 miles away, gotten out of the fishbowl, everything else. We would have had to grown up even faster. But, you know, that wasn't in the cards for me. Instead, it was to come here and some power struggles early, a rebuild, and I'm out. And Drew Locke came to Denver and came into an environment where expectations are sky high, where Peyton and John Elway have statues, where that's the level of play, and went to work for Vic Fangio. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't a healthy environment. And I would love to see him at least get an opportunity in moments to see if he can be a difference maker. I do. I do support that. I do like the thought of a young guy getting an opportunity. And people in Denver will say, oh, you got 20 starts. You got all the opportunity you wanted. Okay. Playing for Vic Fangio. Playing for an old guard, old school, nobody wants, will never be a head coach again. Not a head coach. Good defensive coordinator. Never a head coach. A dysfunctional organization. No ownership. All of that. A GM that, you know, in John Elway that was done working at that stage and at that point. So, I do. I do want to see Drew at least get a knock, get in the batter's box, and get an opportunity versus live bullets.
Yeah, I don't.
I know you don't.
I mean, I get where you're saying. I think you're probably projecting.
And I'm probably
a little
bit, smitten,
right?
And I'm probably smitten because I also spend the day hanging out with him.
Right.
You know, he was just a guy that related to Molly and Macy and Titus as well as he did the guy at Chipotle. Like he's just a, you know, he's a good kid.
That's what everyone says, right?
Yes.
He's a good kid who everybody likes.
Yes.
I've not heard the second part of that he's a leader, that all, mm-hmm. you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, funny, that kind of brings me, because we've been saying that's one of the best parts about Jimmy Garoppolo. Have you heard this Martellus Bennett and Julian Edelman stuff?
Yeah.
That's not great. So yeah. I played this earlier. Here's a little of Martellus Bennett.
Bro, we lost two games. One of them was because Jimmy Garoppolo was being a and tried to quit before us on the last, decided not to play right before the game.
He goes on from there. I won't play the whole thing. But then Edelman kind of jumps in and is like, yeah, he wasn't the only one who felt that way. So when you hear that.
Yes.
Well,
it's why San Francisco passed.
Is it though? Because we've heard the opposite. We've heard in San Francisco he was a fantastic leader that they loved.
Well, that was Lewis, right? That was Lewis Riddick. And that's one man's opinion. He wasn't in the locker room.
I've heard that elsewhere.
He wasn't playing. There are a lot of times as Seahawk fans, you know, that we watched and played against Jimmy Garoppolo. And I thought, get to him and he's soft.
Mm.
Hit him like a lot of quarterbacks and he will shut it down. Like, you know, he is a guy you can sack. He is a guy you can knock around. He is a guy that can get hit and harassed and bothered. And the Seahawks had their way with him most of the time. You know, we're an inch away from beating him just about every single time they played him. So, he never – I've said this to you for a couple months. None of these guys overwhelm me. You and I were overwhelmed by Russell Wilson.
Right.
And maybe we had – you said the word projecting – right, because we had talked to him. We'd certainly talked a lot about him to the point that John Schneider said, why don't you guys stop talking about him if you want him to come here to Seattle and be on the board and everything else. So maybe we're projecting, maybe we're a little biased, but Mike, we were overwhelmed by his talent, by rookie minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go.
Well, and I'm not suggesting anyone's in that same realm. Of course not. It's just who's the best of the four.
Yes. And I want to be like, that's what I want to be. And if I'm in that position, and I said this on our podcast, like I want to be in that position where it's like, yeah, okay, maybe others don't see it with Russell, but I do. And I'm going to stand on that box and I'm going to go for it. Maybe others don't see it with Patrick Mahomes, but I did.
So are you then you're trying to turn Drew Lock into that? Because none of these four guys have that.
No, they don't.
If that's what you're looking for, no one has that.
Nope. Right. Nope. But this is a root for. As I said, this is not enamored with. This is not overwhelmed. It's just a guy. I kind of have a rooting interest for a guy that I think got a raw deal, a bit run out of town, had to live in an expectation world. I talked to Tyler Columbus about this. I know Tyler came on your show, and Tyler, you know, shot me a text. I remember when that trade happened and Drew went out there. He's like, man, I hope for his sake he gets what I get, because I was done. I was overwhelmed. I let the fans' expectations and everything bother me and insecure. And then I got to Seattle and had a breath of fresh air with Pete. And I'm like, wow, I can do this. I can play.
Which is funny, because you talk to him and he doesn't sound like he likes Pete that much.
No, but it was the environment.
Yeah,
he's kind of a crusty old O-lineman. You know, those guys, they kind of operate their own little world, yeah. Right? He's not going to be like, he's not animated. He's not buying into that. But the culture, the positivity, the build up, not tear down, the develop, not demean. I mean, the things that Drew was under here in Denver. So that's where I have a rooting interest. Am I overwhelmed by his talent? No. Am I planting my flag saying, he should absolutely be the guy? No. Is Baker Mayfield, quite honestly, the more you and I talk about this, and we'll do it again today on our podcast, the more we talk about it, do I kind of start to lean into him a little bit? Yeah. But then talk to Jarvis Landry, talk to OBJ, mm-hmm. talk to OBJ's dad, talk to people in that locker room,
yeah,
right? I mean, no.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So
what is worse than being called soft?
Not much, man. Is a QB and a football player, okay, that is about the worst thing you could possibly.
So we came up with two that might be worse. One, a rat.
Yeah.
As a teammate.
Yes. But in this day and age, in the social media world and everything else, and everybody having an opinion, everybody having a camera, everybody being sourced, everybody behind the scenes.
Saying out loud what your teammates are doing or anything like that, I think being a rat is pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. I don't think it's as bad as being soft.
Wow. The other was stealing from your teammates.
Oh, yeah. That's just
right. Being corrupt in some way, right? Either like being paid to take a dive or in some way stealing from your teammates.
Yeah, which you've seen happen. Like someone steals something out of someone else's locker.
Right.
Like you're dead to me. Get the guillotine. Get the locker room guillotine and chop his head off before he even gets out of the locker room. You're just dead to me.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Sorry, that just came out today.
That came out. I saw that like a week ago. I was on an airplane somewhere.
Yeah.
I think it was Mike's birthday or something. And yeah, they played that. And
that's all you can think of is how this guy ruined your career by yelling at you so much.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Hey, rock, bouncer, bouncer.
For those of you who've never heard the original, it sounded like this. Hey, rock. Like, it wasn't that hard to put it to Master of Puppets.
Let me hear that one more time.
The original or the music?
No, the music. Hey, rock, master! Master!
That's almost as funny. Almost as funny as you playing with Ray Lewis and the rest of those guys.
I didn't think that was funny at all.
All right. Well, we'll talk later on the podcast. Plus, I've got my moral dilemma for you.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that all day.
Do you don't know what it is, though?
I do not know.
Maybe I shouldn't tell you.
No, don't tell me.
Might not end well for me.
I want to be totally teased.
All right.
All the way to the end. Okay.
See you, buddy. We'll talk later. There's Brock Hewitt every morning, 7:45 and 9:30 here on the Mike Salk Show. And we will spend some time doing our podcast today. Apologies, it didn't come out last week. We had somebody who was very upset about it. He literally seemed to create a Twitter account to be upset that Brock and I have not always, that we don't have an episode every single week.
Well, he was in Guatemala, is that right?
Oh, is that where he was?
No, Brock.
Oh, yeah, Brock. Yes.
Yeah, it's like he's out of the country.
Right, and he was, and I wasn't able to do it a few weeks ago because I was home with COVID. It was like, well, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's not on purpose. I want to go do the show. I was certainly ready to do it last week. Brock ditched me. So we will record today, and I do have a bit of a dilemma that I found myself in, and I'll ask Brock about it because it involves Brock and our history together and our relationship.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we will have the follow up, is what you're saying.
I promise. Yeah, good. We'll get to it. I mean, it's not that good. It's just sort of something that I, you know, came up in my life over last weekend. I wasn't exactly sure how to handle it. I handled it the way I wanted to, and now I'm not sure if I should feel guilty about it. So I will. I'll ask Brock about it, because again, it involves our world together.
We got a text from 206. Says maybe Brock should take Drew Locke under his wing and teach him the ways of broadcasting.
It seems. Oh, jeez. Yeah, it's not from the same person who said, if you can't beat out Teddy Bridgewater, then I'm sorry.
No.
You can't blame the coaches. Yeah, I this one's hard for me, honestly. Like, I understand where Brock's coming from on the Drew Locke thing. I understand why he's rooting for him. I understand why he's projecting onto him. I get it. It all makes sense. And if they aren't able to find another quarterback, I know there'll be people who will be like, oh, Salk, you're being a flip-flop or whatever. Like, I'll root for Drew Locke. He seems like a fun guy to root
totally.
For.
Yeah,
honestly, he does. It doesn't mean he's a good player, but he does seem like a pretty fun guy to root for, because he seems like a good dude who works hard, tries hard, you know, is fun-loving, good right. personality. I'll be happy to root for him.
None of like the other quarterbacks that have been mentioned. He's not a bad guy.
No.
He's nothing like that.
No.
I would happily root for him. I just know that there are better quarterbacks that I could be rooting for.
That's exactly right. And then, you know, we heard from somebody else earlier saying, oh, you know, Baker's going to get booed if he comes here. First of all, no, he's not. But yeah. Beyond that, like, why? Why would you boo him? I can't come up with a reason why you would boo your quarterback if it was Baker Mayfield. They wouldn't even boo Geno Smith. At least he got into legal trouble. Like, what's Baker done? You don't like him because he's fun in commercials? Like, I don't know, man. That one doesn't quite fly.
Whenever we get texts, it's like, we don't want Baker. I'm like, are you speaking on behalf of like your buddies or your household? Because I'm not in the we.
Yeah.
So
hey, what were you saying about your buddy? Who is it your buddy is super into?
Drew Locke. Drew.
What's his reasoning?
Yeah, honestly, I really don't know. I think probably just the same that we've heard is like he hasn't been given a fair shot.
Uh-huh.
Pete can fix him. I really don't. Or maybe it's a strength of schedule this year that he thinks that he's going to look better than he would in any other season.
Mm-hmm.
But he truly believes that Drew Locke is a 7+ win quarterback for us this year.
I don't know. I believe that. I appreciate your buddy getting, mm-hmm. I appreciate the excitement level and the optimism.
I mean, I don't want to call him out. His name starts with a P and ends with an all. So.
Peter, really? Anyway, let's do some ranking.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
Today is the anniversary of the invention of... the
waffle iron.
The waffle iron.
Well, it's a waffle iron day.
Today's waffle iron.
Today's
day.
Waffle iron day. There's we have a lot of these weird random holidays. Today's also camera day. It's okay. Hug day. It's International Mud Day.
Okay. Well, we struck upon the iron, the waffle iron thing. Sorry. We decided to rank irons today. So let me give you a whole bunch that did not make the
list. Shocking amount of irons.
There are more than there should be. But yeah. Let me give you a bunch that did not make the top five. The Iron Age.
Mm-hmm.
Too many irons in the fire.
Okay.
Tire iron.
Tire iron is not a top five. That's a pretty useful iron.
Only if you're trying to change a tire, which I've never done in my life, or attack somebody.
You've never changed a tire.
Why would I?
Just figured at some point in your life you'd find a place that you'd
You know what you do when you need to change a tire?
Call AAA.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what AAA does?
Change
comes
tires.
Out, changes your tire.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't know how to change a tire.
Your dad taught you to not cry.
Right. Well, you know what my dad probably can't do?
Got it.
Change a tire.
Got it.
Let's be pretty clear about who we're dealing with.
No tire iron.
I don't think my dad has any more ability to change a tire than I would.
I'm assuming the Ironhead Harley is not on this list either?
No, but Craig Ironhead Haywood is not on the list, but very close to it.
Okay.
One of my all-time favorites. I love Craig Ironhead Haywood.
Okay.
Jeremy Irons did not make the list.
Hello, John Legend. School was it? Of course not. And a soldier, not a monster.
That's from Die Hard 3.
Die Hard 3.
Yeah. That's from Die Hard 3.
Anything to bring Die Hard in.
The Iron Curtain did not make the list.
Okay.
Nor did the Gridiron or the Gridiron Gang.
Okay. Gridiron's good.
My dad would be upset if I didn't mention The Man in the Iron Mask.
Yeah.
That did not make the list either.
Saw that movie in theaters.
Nor does Iron Ick.
Isn't it ironic?
Oh, sorry, that's ironic.
Iron Ick.
Sorry.
Don't you think? A little too ironic.
No.
And yeah, I really do think.
I like Alanis, but that's one of the worst songs in the world.
Yeah, I'm not on board with that song. That whole album, though, is pretty good. Take a Little Pill.
It's a very good album. Taylor Hawkins on drums. Yep. It's a good album. That's a terrible song. And most of the things aren't ironic.
Rest in peace, Taylor Hawkins.
There's a lot of non-irony in that song. Anyway.
The Iron Giant?
What's The Iron Giant?
The animated film? The Iron Giant?
I don't know that film.
Ooh. All right. It's clearly not on your list.
No. If you were looking for films, though, we could mention The Man in the Iron Mask. And
true.
One of my favorites when I was a kid, and I haven't seen it in a while, but maybe with the... Now that they're redoing things like Top Gun and giving that a sequel, maybe we'll finally get one for...
Doug Masters. He's 18 years old. Raised on an airbase.
Are you out of your mind?
Born to fly. Living for the day he'll earn his wings.
Maybe Iron Eagles will get a second. A restart, a reboot.
I missed Iron Eagle. We're getting a lot of texts about it, so I'm glad
that Iron Eagle's great. I love Iron Eagle. You got the curling iron and the straightening iron. I've not used either, but I'm told that they will curl or straighten your hair if you need something to do that. You were mentioning films. Don't forget Pumping Iron, Arnold Schwarzenegger. If Brock were here, I know that would have been high on his list. I remember Michigan linebacker from the 90s, Jarrett Irons.
That's a deep cut.
Thank you. I'm on it. Of course, you got the 9-iron. That's probably my favorite of my irons right now. Although I duffed it the last time I was 145 out, so we don't talk about that. You got the Iron Cross in gymnastics.
Yeah.
That does not make the list because it looks too hard and painful.
Of course, you got the cast iron pan.
Cast iron skillet, yes.
It's good.
Yep. And you can rule with an iron fist. So that's a bunch of irons that did not make the list. Iron lung did not make the list either.
No, it's not a good iron.
Okay. So let me get you to the top five before we run out of time. Number five all-time irons is professional wrestler.
Tried wrestling with Jim Brazeller and that jabroni Brian Blair.
Brian Blair, right.
Brian Blair, no good, low life.
That is the Iron Sheik, yes.
That interview, he said a lot of other things that are...
You cannot play?
Yeah, I can't play.
All right, well, he's number five on our list of irons, the Iron Sheik. Number four.
Let us prepare for the biggest battle this kitchen has ever seen.
Iron Cuisine!
Way too intense.
Iron Chef, Morimoto, all the rest of them. Yeah.
Good deal.
I watched a lot of Iron Chef, mostly with Heather.
I'm obsessed with cooking shows. I have no idea why. I love watching them.
I'm kind of out on it now. I saw an Onion piece the other day that was like Food Network finally goes off air after every combination of ingredients has been used.
Produced.
It's like, yeah, sounds about right. All right, that is number three. I'm sorry, that was number four. Number three. I've been thinking about this for a while. Number three is a three-way tie.
Ooh.
Because they all have the same name.
But one is definitely better than the other.
Yeah, so I will go in order of worst to best. And the reason it's number three is because I don't really like the movie Iron Man.
Yeah. Iron Man missed for me, too.
I just don't like it. I know people love it. I'm sorry. I didn't like it very much. There's also the Iron Man race.
The endurance race.
Yes, where you have to, you know, it's
bike,
like
swim, and run.
Exactly. Right? Yes. And then, of course, the best of the Iron Mans.
Which is the best. So you're 3 A, B, and C.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really the one that kicks it up here to number three.
Good.
The others kind of bring it back down. So that is number three on the all-time list of irons. Has anyone guessed numbers one or two?
Ooh,
I'm guessing a lot have come in for number one.
Yeah, a lot have come in for, well, I'm surprised. This is the funny thing of the show. We can be talking about quarterbacks and get a lot of texts. We can be talking about fights, get a lot of texts. We'll be talking about ranked and get 750 texts. Everybody who has an idea for where it's going to go.
Yeah. Luke Gehrig is an Iron Man, right? That's true. I didn't think about that part of it. Yep. I mentioned Craig Ironhead Hayward, one of my all-time favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Scrap Iron.
Mm-hmm. I'm still upset that the tire iron isn't higher, but I'll have to move on.
Seems like it's really bothering you.
Yeah.
Branding iron. I do see that both number one and number two are on this list. So okay, number two.
Are on the text?
Yes. Okay. Number two, and I thought about this for a while. I went back and forth. It's a tough one. But number two on my list used to be one of my favorite athletes on the planet.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal in Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Eat his children.
I love when he says I'm impregnable. The best. He also, of course, said later said Bolivian and everything else.
Yeah.
Iron Mike Tyson, number two iron of all time.
Okay, I think I know where we're going now.
Yeah, do you?
Uh-huh.
Number one. The all-time greatest iron. And I know people think you know where I'm going with this. Maybe you got it right, maybe not. But number one is...
Put them in the Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden? Excellent!
Is that where you were thinking we would go number one?
Is that what I was thinking?
Iron Maiden? Oh, maybe you were thinking of this.
Yeah.
I've kind of gotten into Iron Maiden more recently. Yeah.
I finally saw them at White River Amphitheater. It was many years ago now, but I remember thinking it was a band I was never going to get to see.
Were they great?
So good.
I've never seen them. I really, huge as I said, got into them last few years.
Huge stage show. So good.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Number one, Iron is Iron Maiden.
All right. Bump it's fun to see us here at the game.
They are.
Go.
And then we got to head over there ourselves. We'll have Jerry DePoto tomorrow morning at 8:30 and a whole bunch of other fun as well. Talk to you guys at 6 o'clock. See you later.